stats are for losers.
Welcome, everyone, to another thrilling episode of Statistically Speaking. I'm your co-host, Kyle. With me always is the ravishing Blinken Riley. We have a special guest tonight. It's Quinn McLean. Quinn, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be on the podcast with y'all.
Yeah. Okay. So is your last name McLean or McLean, or I just went with McLean?
Like John no, that was perfect. I actually pronounced it McLean myself.
Oh, yeah. It's like I knew or something. anyway, he is a big Oregon fan. He does all sorts of work in data viz. He does heat maps. He does. He has a cool like EPA distribution chart that he does for all the different conferences. I've even seen him do some G5 stuff. Quinn, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started with your data viz, and what exactly is the Big Data Bowl also?
Yeah, good question. So my background, I work as a data science consultant for companies in the Portland area, Portland, nice. Oregon, that is. So do some modeling, some data engineering for them. Prior to that, I actually worked as a lead people analytics analyst for years. So recruiting practices, hiring strategies was kind of my cup of tea. I utilize sports as kind of like a good outlet and something away from work that I wanted to do. So that's where I built up my skill set, Python and R. The corporate world is mostly Python, but most of my data viz work is all in R. Shout out to the Sports Dataverse. They put out a great package of CFB FastR, which I tap into, and you can do some really cool data visualization modeling from there. And so from the visualization standpoint, as you can see, I've done a lot of Oregon stuff. It's cool to kind of like benchmark myself a year from, or I looked back at some old tweets from last year, and I was like, wow, I can't believe I actually put that on the internet to what I've done now. And it's cool. It's a cool way to benchmark yourself and see what actually works there. But going into the Big Data Bowl, what that is it's this. So the NFL, for context, the NFL puts, like microchips into the shoulder pads, like two microchips on both shoulders of NFL players. And they can track player location to 10 frames per second. And they basically open it up to say like, do something with the data. It's related to some theme. They've done like offensive rush in the past. And so this last year, I decided to get into it for the first time. Really piqued my interest in getting the tracking data. And it was around special teams. So I created metrics to evaluate gunner performance, because I had this like thought in the back of my mind, like, how do those gunners get voted to the Pro Bowl every single year? Like, I don't know who they are. So I decided to kind of lead with that, like answer that basic question. And yeah, I was named an honorable mention this past year for doing so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's a question I've never thought of myself. So
I kind of led in and was like, I don't really see like gunners on the Pro Bowl sheet when I'm voting every single year. So I'm like, how do they make it into the Pro Bowl? And so it was a cool lead in question that I started to model around.
Nice.
So and that's that competition, it's a competition, right? And
yeah,
it's open to everybody, right? Is it hosted on like Kaggle?
Do they
put the data out there?
So this year is the fifth year. They just actually released at the end of September. So this year's theme is around offensive line, defensive line play during passes.
Nice.
So they released the like 8 weeks of data on Kaggle, and you can go through and it's pretty much like, if you're interested in NFL analytics, like it's the entry point into the NFL, because it's, here's a case competition. Show us what you can do with it. This is, you know, very transferable to the work that they're doing. So recommend it to anyone. I hope college is quite not there in terms of like tracking data.
Right. Yeah.
It'd be cool to see if it expanded in the college in the future.
Yeah. So I did not know about the microchips in the shoulder pads. So I've seen like after like a big game, I'll see someone post, this was what the quarterback did. And it shows like a little bubble, like moving up and like all the other positions just moving. I'm like, is that how they can make that with those
the metrics off of those? So it's on both sides of their shoulders, so they can track their XY coordinates, and also because it's on both sides, they can track like your orientation to a different player, which I think is a interesting thing compared to like, I did Big Data Cup, which is hockey, and that's more of extrapolating people's location from native film. You're not necessarily, I mean, I'm sure they do a good job of it, but you're not necessarily getting like orientation from that type of footage. Yeah. So I think it's a cool thing the NFL does it that way.
Yeah, I've always wondered, like, when someone does one of those, this is like Quinn Ewers' passing chart for the game against Kansas State, and it shows all the different like coordinates of the field and like the percentages that he threw and like where the ball was. Like, do they just like go back and just do people go back and like watch that and just like mark on their little piece of paper where the ball landed, or are there like are there places that have that data?
So in the NFL, they actually have a, in the NFL, they have a microchip in the ball, so they can actually track them pretty easily.
That is awesome.
For college, they're extrapolating that. And I've done some work in computer vision, but they're training like millions of images of what a football looks like. And so they can track that across the stream, across the screen to get where the football is looking at.
Yeah. I would imagine they probably have like a dedicated, like all 22 view of the field that, and then they have some machine learning or some, you know, some sort of AI that kind of tracks and can recognize players and the ball and things like that.
Yeah. And they, how do they build up to it too, is you have like, and PFF does a good job of charting data. They'll have someone like manually, you know, annotate the play, like this was the instance or whatever. You can utilize that data, kind of train your algorithms long-term, is a way they've kind of like up-leveled it over time.
Yeah, I've always thought like the future of like the NFL would be like, I'm talking like deep future, like when you're a kid, you think of like silver jumpsuits, like future, like it'd be cool, like on like an all LED field, and like the ball is like, there's no refs involved, just the ball knows wherever the ball goes out of line, it's just like the field just highlights where it went out, or it can track all that stuff, so there's no like instant replays, wasting 20 minutes here and there for that. Maybe one day.
One day, yeah.
Man, you started talking about silver jumpsuits, and all I could think about was the old Major League Baseball turn ahead the clock jerseys with the, like the Mercury Mets and stuff like that. Y'all remember that?
Yeah,
that was great.
Long time ago.
Long time ago.
Oh, well, cool. So like, I've talked about this before, but yeah, I totally agree about like going back and seeing what you did this time last year. And I've always thought like, if you want to ever cringe, just go read your old tweets from a year or so ago. It's like, man, what? I said that? Like, oh, cringe. But it just makes you a better tweeter, better data scientist, analyst, whatever you want to call it, better stat guy. So.
And I would say the sports like analytics community, especially in football, is very like collaborative and open to give each other feedback. Like I've gotten comments on tweets to be like, I tweet this way. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I haven't thought about that. I, you know, I'm thinking about this business vacuum. It's cool to have someone else's input on it and, you know, increase that for other people that are looking at it.
Exactly. Yeah. I myself have done like some Tableau stuff, and then like I'll get people to say, hey, you should switch the coordinates, it would look a lot better, or, you know, make the logos bigger, or, you know, all that stuff. It's when you hear those tips and you're like, and it lights you up like, oh yeah, then like you never forget it, and you do that going forward. And so it looks like you've been doing this a while. Yeah, you have some good looking graphs.
Yeah, it's kind of one of the angles I consult in is also data visualization. Like I go in for a route of data science, like we help build the models, but it's models are only as good as how you can communicate them. So we kind of up level some of the internal staff that we work with to help them to kind of transfer it out. I think I always tell people the biggest blessing I had was I worked in HR for a while. So it was like, I was working with very like extroverted people. And so being able to communicate with them and through data was like something I learned pretty quickly in my career and something I appreciated pretty early on.
Yes.
And it's so funny how something just so tiny can make all the difference. I saw, you know, there's lots of charts with, you know, like offensive versus defensive EPA and, you know, I saw somebody had that chart, but they had just simply rotated it 45 degrees. So the, you know, what would be the bottom left or the poorest performers were now just the bottom.
Right.
And the teams kind of spread out, and then the really elite teams were at the top. And it was cool. it just turned it into something so much more intuitive.
Yeah.
And I wish I could find that tweet. If you happen to be listening, DM me and I'll give you a proper shout out. But it was beautiful and I loved it. It was just so perfect.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like the diamond tweet, and it's kind of the quadrants of like green, red, and it has at the top, just like visually in front of you, the green quadrant of like these are the good teams to look out for.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, really nice.
Yeah, try and find that. I want to see that.
Sounds yeah, me good. Too.
That's why we're having you on, Quinn. You speak our language. We like sharing and promoting this kind of stuff. So keep up all the great work.
Yeah.
With that, let's get into some picks.
Let's do it. Let's make some picks.
Let's roll.
All right. Let's start with Alabama, Mississippi. This line is at -12 for Alabama. Prediction: the average on prediction tracker says Bama by about 10. What do y'all think about Alabama at Mississippi?
I think Bama's done. Texas almost beat them. A&M almost beat them. Tennessee romped them. I don't even know who else they lost to. Oh, yeah, Tennessee. I already said that. Who's the other team that beat them?
LSU?
Well, they just lost to LSU.
LSU. You know, Brian Kelly, first year, beat Saban. So I think they're on their way out. This is definitely an Ole Miss win. It's at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is playing great. I think they have a better offense than Alabama. And I'm only saying that not because they just lost, but because I was at the game, I watched it. They didn't look that great in person. So I think Ole Miss has this one.
So I'm going to say Bama, mostly because it's a perfect storm of Saban's former assistant, which he's 25-2 against former assistants. And he hasn't lost a regular season game back-to-back since his first year at Bama. So you got these like two statistics of a perfect storm that I think are kind of coming together. It's hard to bet against Saban in that aspect, but with that though, Zach Evans from Ole Miss is just super fun to watch. So, but I'm going to go with Bama to win this game.
Hey, well, he's 2-2 against his former assistant the last four games. So when you say it that way, it's like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So I gotta go with Alabama as well. I don't think it'll be 12 points. I think it'll be a little closer than that, but I'll take Alabama. And speaking of that LSU game, how about the cojones to just go for two on the first overtime?
That is what I wanted every coach. Regardless.
Yes. The game's over regardless of this play, and we're either gonna go home, you know, happy or we're going home mad. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I love that. There was like a meme I saw where, you know, Stan's dad from South Park carrying his balls in a wheelbarrow. It had Brian Kelly's face on it, and it was pretty funny.
To run the play to a true freshman at the pylon.
It was perfect.
I you can see just watching the quarterback on that play. I've watched it a few times. He was not looking anywhere else. He had one spot he was looking, and that's where he was going to go.
Yeah. Well, so
what an awesome finish. So
yeah.
All that aside, I'm taking Bama.
We'll see.
All right, Purdue at Illinois. The line's at Illinois by 7. Prediction tracker average has it Illinois by 8.5.
I'm picking Illinois simply because the few games I've watched Purdue this year, they've just not played well. And it's at Illinois. Illinois is playing well. Give me Illinois on this one.
So I went back and forth on this one. It's potentially a trap game for Illinois because they play Michigan the following week. Illinois is a pretty good team, and they struggled against a pretty good defense last week. Purdue's defense, I think, doesn't get a lot of credit. And considering this is like their toughest opponent rest of the year, they play Northwestern, Indiana, and can contend for the Big Ten West. That's was having me leaning to Purdue, but I think Illinois' defense is just way too good for Purdue. You have to have a really outperforming Purdue offense, and I just don't see it. So I'm going to go with Illinois.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Illinois as well, for a lot of the reasons you just mentioned. But Illinois is just a good team. I think they're at home. They're gonna get the job done. All right.
Yeah, wait. If this was like a number 7 Ohio State against Purdue, I would actually probably pick Purdue. But it's Illinois.
Purdue all the way. Right.
Yeah. So it's Illinois, though, so Illinois.
Well, they also don't have Rondell Moore, which I feel like he was part of, like, so many of those.
Yeah.
Those kind of crazy, where did Purdue come from? Like, this is that Purdue beat this team game, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's go LSU at Arkansas. LSU's favored by 3. The average on prediction tracker likes LSU by about 6.
I mean, I don't know where they're getting these numbers from. You know, Arkansas, they're not playing well. They just lost to Liberty. Mm-hmm. LSU is like playing for a appearance in the SEC championship. So they're going to bring their best game. I don't think this one is close at all. I would take LSU on this one.
Yeah, I agree. I have LSU by a lot. Jaden Daniels is great. He always played Oregon pretty well when he was at Arizona State. So I like to see him succeed at LSU. That's why, for the same reasons you just said, I have LSU as well.
Nice.
Give me Arkansas in Fayetteville. I think might be a little bit of a hangover game for LSU. Might be a little bit of a letdown. All performance wise, so give me KJ Jefferson. And you know, well, one of the things that was so dominant about LSU in that LSU Alabama game was LSU's defensive line just absolutely ate up Alabama. I mean, I don't know how many times, I feel like it was the third quarter, and I feel like Bryce Young had seen him like a second and a half was all he had, and he just had to throw it in the dirt like 5 yards down, like in front of the line, like over and over and over again. But you know what's the remedy for an over-aggressive defensive line? It's a mobile quarterback. So let's go with Arkansas to win this at home.
Okay, we'll see.
All right, TCU at Texas. Texas favored by 7. Prediction tracker says it's a little closer than that. I don't know why Texas is favored by 7.
I don't know why they're favored either. If this was the first half only game, I would say yes, definitely favored. You know, it's at home, so give a few points that way. But Texas, I mean, I guess we're in the right direction, but it's second game in a row of like 30-plus points in the first half and 3 in the second half. That's not normal. That's not sustainable, obviously, as we proved last year, losing 6 in a row, 5 of those being ahead at the half. But TCU finally showed that they're human last week. We're down most of the game against Tech. I've seen them down before to other schools. So I have hope. I think Texas can win this if they play right, and I think it'll be a close nail-biter field goal game. So Texas for this one.
Yeah, I have Texas as well, mostly because I need TCU to lose so Oregon can then move up. And hard for me to bet against a QB that shares my name, so I'm all in on Quinn Ewers. I think.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna go to Texas as well.
Here it comes. All
right, I'm not. You know, I'm not gonna pick Texas. So
obviously,
All right, give me TCU. But legitimately, I think TCU is probably a better team. And
yeah, they're very good this year.
They are literally the opposite of what you just described Texas as being.
Yeah, yeah. Their second half,
they're kind of stagnant in the first half.
Yeah.
And then they blow up for 35 in the second. Yeah. Like,
right.
That's not a very good combination for Texas.
Well, right, but maybe it means that Texas, instead of scoring 30 in the first half, they score 70 in the first half. So, who knows?
We'll yeah. Yeah.
Or 49.
I feel your pain, because one of the criticisms of Lincoln Riley when he was at Oklahoma was he would get up big in the first half, and then he'd go, like, ultra-conservative. Yeah. Like, remember the Rose Bowl against Georgia? Up big, went super conservative, and then it was like everything just froze up.
Yeah.
I haven't watched enough of Texas to know if it's that or if it's just kind of
bullshit. Other
bad play.
Well, I've never seen an Oklahoma game. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be close.
Hornet Toads. Give me the Hornet Toads.
It'll be close. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. All right. Here's this. I think this is a good one. This will be a fun game to watch. North Carolina at Wake Forest. Wake is favored by 3.5. Prediction tracker says that's right about what it should be. What do we think?
I'm going last on this one.
I like North Carolina. I think Drake May is amazing. He's going to be he's having that Trevor Lawrence type season where he's just going to be unanimous best quarterback going into next year. I like North Carolina in this one.
Yeah, give me North Carolina over Wake. Wake Forest isn't quite the offense that it's been in the last year or two. North Carolina has been playing really good. Drake May is awesome. Drake May is consistently throughout the season. I don't know if you've seen this. I've been doing a Baker ratings where I do a simple similarity score to Baker Mayfield's career Oklahoma stats and how how quarterbacks this season how similar they are. Drake May has been up at the top of the Baker ratings all season. So give me North Carolina.
Yeah, I like the Tar Heels in this one too. North Carolina for me.
All right. The Battle of the Saints. San Jose State and San Diego State. San Jose State is actually favored by 2.5. Prediction tracker says that's right on the money.
Yeah, I've been picking San Diego State, but I don't think they've been picking me. So I'm getting San Jose State on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go San Diego State. They had Braxton Burmeister, who was Justin Herbert's backup for a little bit before transferring to Virginia Tech. And they, like he did at Oregon, just could never move the ball. So ever since they made that switch in quarterback to Jalen Maiden, it seems like they've been playing a lot better. So, plus, I grew up in San Diego, so I'm going to go with San Diego State.
Give me San Jose State. Give me San Jose State to win, to beat the Aztecs. All right, where are we going next? Let's see. Iowa State, Oklahoma State. Iowa State is actually... Iowa State is actually favored by 1.5. Prediction tracker says Oklahoma State by 3, but I think that probably just doesn't take into account Oklahoma State's quarterback issues.
Yeah.
What do we think about this game?
I mean, I think, Iowa State's defense is much better than any team Oklahoma State's played, and they have... Sanders out still, so there's no way they're going to win this one. Iowa State finally gets another Big 12 win on this week.
Yeah, I have Iowa State as well. Looks like they could be bowl eligible if they win this one. And so a little bit something more to play for than Oklahoma State.
Yeah, give me Iowa State as well. I think their defense is too good, especially with how Oklahoma State has looked without Spencer Sanders. looks about like Oklahoma without Dylan Gabriel. So, yeah, give me Iowa State to win this one. All right, Kansas State, Baylor. Baylor's favored by 3. Prediction tracker says it's probably within a point and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say this is probably a coin flip game. You know, and normally I'd go with like the home team on this one, but Kansas State just lost to Texas. They're angry. They're mad. I think they're going to bounce back this week. And, you know, Baylor might just be looking forward to Texas and sleep on Kansas State.
Yeah, I have Kansas State as well. Deuce Vaughn's very fun to watch. And Adrian Martinez is one of the least volatile quarterbacks in terms of passing this year. So I think he's been obviously pretty good for them this year. So I have Kansas State.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kansas State simply on the fact that this is going to be one of those games the week after Oklahoma lost to Baylor, and I'm going to sit through this thing, just choke it down, thinking, how in the world did we lose to this Baylor team? Like, that's what I'm going to think for 3.5 hours. So, hey,
don't talk to me about that. I watched Oklahoma State lose 48-0 after they beat us. So don't talk. It was bad. Bad feelings all around.
Yeah, I think this just has too much karmic universe energy around it for Baylor to actually win this. So give me Kansas State. Karmic universe energy is actually, for anyone listening, a very important statistical term. There's a lot of math background between her behind the karmic universal energy.
Okay.
I had to stay on brand, guys.
Yeah.
All right. This one is going to be fantastic. This has to be the
Sickos game of the week.
Sickos game of the week. Wisconsin at Iowa. Right now, it's sitting at a true pick'em as far as Vegas is concerned. Prediction tracker says 1 point in favor of Iowa. The over-under on this game is currently at 35.5. this is going to be ugly. What do we got?
You know, I thought over and over about this, but I mean, it's going to be very low scoring, 3-3 at half, maybe 0-3. I don't know. I'm going to just give the nudge to Iowa since it's at home.
Yeah, I've got Iowa as well. They've got one of the best punters in the nation, Torrey Taylor. So I think that's why they'll win the game.
Yeah, probably.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll take Iowa as well in like a 3-6 game.
I hope it rains too.
On the other end of the spectrum, I think maybe one of the most fun games for this weekend. Central Florida, Tulane. Tulane's favored by 2.5. Line average on prediction tracker says that these two are dead even.
Yeah. I got Tulane. It's at home. They're ranked for the first time since 98. They are for real this year. So give me the real TU all day.
I've got UCF. The chart I put out today on Twitter had UCF as the top net predicted points added on the American Athletic. So that's kind of the reason why I'm going with them.
Nice. I like that.
Central Florida is good. They have great offense. John Reese Plumlee is good. But give me the Green Wave. They're going to be partying in New Orleans after this one. So give me Tulane. All right, here we go. Picks are in. Hopefully I do better than 2 for 10.
That was a great week for me.
Jeez. I forgot to put my picks into the ESPN Pick'em, but it didn't matter.
Oh, yeah, you missed
'cause I only got 2 points. All right. Are we missing anything?
Yeah, there's this thing we do at the end where we talk about our favorite team in the world, the Aggies. Quinn, do you have an Aggie fact?
Yeah.
Looked
up today for Texas A&M is, so according to SpoTrack, they're currently seventh in the NFL in total contractual earnings amongst active players.
Wow.
Yeah. There's your Aggie fact.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
You know, do you know the total of that? Of their... Yeah.
So $656 million.
Yeah.
Amongst 27 active players.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Dang. But when you subtract Jimbo Fisher's 89,000 or 89 million buyout, it lessens a little bit.
Yeah, it's like 1 million.
Okay, so this one isn't one of mine, but someone, you know, whenever people have them on Twitter, they'll tag me in them. And I liked this one. Texas has more college game days this year than A&M has conference wins. I like that one. I retweeted that one.
Jeez. That's not great.
Yeah.
Not great.
Could be better. Yeah. You got one blinking, or are you ducking out?
Right now, Texas A&M is averaging 22.6 points per game. That is less than every single Big 12 team.
Cool. I like that one.
Even Iowa State.
Wow. Okay, please tweet that on Thursday.
All right.
Okay. I will retweet it like it's hot. Sweet. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Quinn, for joining us.
Yeah.
Please plug anything that you have that you're working on that you want people to see. You got anything to plug besides following you on Twitter?
Yeah. Where can we find you?
Twitter handle is at Quinn's Wisdom. I mostly put out stuff related to all football and then talk about Oregon Ducks. So my plug is to root for Oregon to get into the college football playoffs. Teach me to lose this weekend. That's what we're hoping for. But
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter. Feel free to give me feedback, like I said, on my business that I'm putting out there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Quinn.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Have a good one.
All right. See you later.
Stats are for losers.